Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Featuring local and independent artists. And good evening, everybody. You're listening to 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station making waves in Dearborn. And you're listening to Live from Studio J. In the studio with us, we have the Codgers. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yeah.
How's it going?
How's it going? Good, good. How you guys doing?
Good. Thanks good. For having us.
No, happy to have you. Let's go around the room and say who you guys are.
All right. I'm John. I play guitar and sing and write songs in this band.
I'm Steve Cousins. I play accordion, and sometimes I play the fool.
I'm Jake Dimmick. I play bass.
All right. What's the first song that you guys are going to start out with?
We're going to do a tune called Different Parts of Town, and this is a song I wrote, and we know a lot of singer-songwriters in the area, and a lot of times we find ourselves playing gigs in disparate places in Metro Detroit, and we rarely get to see each other, so it's always a treat when we do. So I kind of wrote a song about that phenomenon. One time me and Steve here were hanging out in my in-law's backyard in East Dearborn having some beers, and my friend Don called us from River Rouge, wanted us to come out there. And I said, yeah, man, we already started drinking here. Maybe you can come this way. He says, well, I already started drinking here, so I probably can't do that. And I said, that's a problem with getting my friends together. You know, everybody's drunk in different parts of town. And he says, well, you should write a song, and that could be the hook. And I'm like, good idea, Don. So that's where this one came from.
All right.
Let it rip. Up at Chick's on the west side of the city, crying in her Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And me, I'm down on Vernon, drinking VO whiskey, wondering what the hell I'm doing here. And that's a problem. We're getting my friends together. Everybody's drunk in different parts of town. And these days, they lock you up for breathing. You get where you are, you better settle down in your different parts of town. I ain't seen my best friend Ryan, been going on 2 months. Them Oakland County sheriffs are damn mean. Every time that I go out there, I'm scared they'll haul me in. Especially when I've had a couple drinks. And that's a problem. We're getting my friends together. They got me cops in every single town. And these days, they lock you up for breathing. You get where you are, you better settle down in your different parts of town. Me and all my people, we like to smoke and drink, and
six, six string guitars until the dawn. We ain't hurting anybody, just minding our own business, chasing after that next great 3 minute song. And it's so rare to get us all together. Everybody's drunk in different parts of town. And these days, they lock you up for breathing. I don't think we're ever gonna settle down in our different parts of town. West side of the city, crying in my Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. And Mary calls my phone, she's been at home drinking whiskey. Said she wished she would have known I'd be up here.
89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station that is making waves. Live from Studio J, we have the Kodjas joining us. And what did you say the title of that song was?
That was Different Parts of Town.
Different Parts of Town. Now, you said you wrote that in kind of like having your fellow singer-songwriters in mind. How long ago did you write that?
I wrote that a couple years ago, you know, and we recently recorded it with our buddy Dave Lawson at his studio. So, yeah, that song's a couple years old now, and it's kind of fun. You know, if I go to a place like my friend Dave Tanya's hosts a songwriter night at the Ghost Light on Tuesdays, and if I go there and play it, some of my fellow songwriters will ask me to sing it. That's kind of cool, you know, and they all get it, you know. So it's fun.
Yeah, so it's a couple years old, but is that what's coming up on that record that's coming out? Was it 2 weeks now?
A little over a week. We got a record release at March 7th at the Gaelic League in Corktown in the hall. And, that's one of them on there. We've got 11 tracks on there. We're really excited about this one because, I wrote four of the songs. My friend Steve here wrote four of the songs. And our mandolin player who's actually snowbirding it down in Florida today. He wrote three of the tunes too. So it's like it's got a real like drive-by truckers thing where you know multiple songwriters on the same record and everybody accompanying each other and having fun. So
how long has that record been in the works?
Oh shoot!
It's your third record, is it?
Yeah, our third record. It's been about two and a half years. Yeah, we've been taking way too long on this one. But everybody's got day jobs, you know. So,
well, this is your third record, but you guys have been together for a lot longer, right?
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
About a dozen years now in different lineups and in formats, you know. But we actually cut our teeth not too far from here at the Tipperary Pub in West Detroit. Mm-hmm. Our current banjo player, Terry Murphy, ran a session there on Wednesday nights. And me and Steve didn't know each other at the time, but we would show up there to drink, and then he'd bring his box up, and I'd be up there playing guitar. One night we just kind of started playing some of these really old Irish songs we both knew, and we'd do that every Wednesday for a long time. And the owner, Tommy O'Halloran, called me up one week, and he said, "Today, John, you know, we had a cancellation Friday night. We got no music. Why don't you bring your man on the box and show up and play for 5 hours, you know?" And so those Irish pub sets, they make you play all night. So we learned a lot of songs. But that was way back in, like, I think 06. That place is no longer there. Now it's now I think it's actually a weed dispensary. So it's still green, but it's no longer an Irish pub.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask, everybody here is Irish, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Now, how far back do the roots go? Is it grandparents or first generation?
Grandparents aren't great on my side, but
yeah, grandparents.
A lot
on my
further
side
on
too.
My side.
Yeah. 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 What'd you give up for Lent? I have to ask that.
You know what? I forgot to give up.
That's all right. So did I.
I probably should have given up beer or something.
Well, what's the next song you got lined up?
I think we're gonna play one called "Disappearing Things," actually the. This mentions the Tipperary pub, that place we were just talking about. It's about a lot of places we've played and known in West Detroit and Dearborn that are no longer there that we kind of miss. I co-wrote this next song with a good friend of mine named Leo Pava.
All right. WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. Live from Studio J, we have the Codgers. And I have to ask, where's the name the Codgers come from?
Well, you know, we started this band. We were in our early to mid-20s, all of us. So we thought it was, and we played at like these old man Irish bars, you know, and we played a lot of old Irish songs. And so we figured it'd be funny to call ourselves the Codgers and, you know, be in our early to mid-20s. And then, you know, now that we're closer to 40, it's less ironic, and it's a name we've grown into.
So At what point did you guys kind of decide to start making records? I mean, you've been playing around Southwest a while, some bars. So at what point did you kind of decide, all right, maybe we should, you know, go into a studio or something?
Yeah, when was that, about 2012, 2013?
Yeah, about 2012, 2013. We, you know, when we first were playing at the Tipperary, we played a lot of, like, Pogue songs and real fast upbeat stuff. And I actually remember coming up to the Tipperary one night after that Towns Van Zandt documentary was playing at the DIA, and like being super excited and talking to John about it. And we started at like kind of around that time, 2006 or 7, listening to a lot more American songwriter stuff and getting really into that. And it took us about 5 or 6 years before we figured out that we maybe could write our own songs, and meeting some people that kind of opened up the door by writing songs that were about things that we understood and places that we understood.
Yeah.
And then figuring out, well, heck, if Don Dupree can write a song about the Gold Star Bar, I can write a song about the Gaelic League or the Tipperary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was actually a big experience for me, and Steve certainly is hearing Don Dupree's Blood River record, you know, and hearing that proper now, the Gold Star Bar plugged into the song Tougher on You. And I was like, I used to hang out at the Gold Star and shoot pool with my friend Matt. You know, I know that place, so you're allowed to name check places that are in your own vicinity. It doesn't have to be some storied city like Memphis or LA or Nashville or something. It can be Detroit centric, you know. Can even be a downriver place. I think that really inspires.
Is that the same Gold Star downriver?
Oh yeah, you've been there?
Oh yeah, I grew up in Southgate.
Oh no way, my parents live in Southgate.
Oh no kidding.
Yeah, and actually, you know, speaking of Southgate, one of my favorite songwriters in the world, a good friend of mine's from Southgate, Ryan Dillahay. I think he's another guy who inspired us to try to write about places we know and people we know. Allison Lewis is another one you got to throw into the mix, you know. So there's a lot of people we started listening to from around here who definitely like kind of gave us permission to write about what we know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that the record's done, like, what's the game plan? Do you guys got a record release party?
Yeah, record release party's March 7th at the Gaelic League in the hall. And the Gaelic League has been like an awesome place for us to just kind of hang out and grow. We all kind of came up there watching Larry Larson play his 12 string guitar in the lounge and Friday and Saturday nights, and so it feels good to be playing there March 7th at the Gaelic League. We've got some awesome friends on the bill. Our friend Carl Henry is going to be playing short set that night. Our friends from the Irish pub band McSpillin are going to be playing. And our buddy Taj, who's a working-class Hamtramck guy, plays in a band called Beauville. He's going to be doing a short set, too. So it'll be a really good night of fun music. So,
now, where can they find this record?
Right now it's on our Bandcamp. If you go to thecodgers.bandcamp.com. And then we'll have physical copies at the release party on March 7th. And then we'll also have it out at all the typical digital platforms shortly after the release show. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the title of the next song here?
I think our friend Steve Cousins here is going to treat you to one of his originals. He doesn't know it yet, so he's going to take off his accordion and switch to guitar.
Doing the old-fashioned switcheroo.
Yeah. I think... are you going to do Bishop Gumbleton for
sure.
us, Steve? Yeah, this is a song Steve wrote called Bishop Gumbleton. Bishop Gumbleton's a real hero of ours. You know, he's a sort of old-school left-wing Catholic activist. And the first time I ever saw him, I was at a war protest not far from here at U of M Dearborn with my parents, actually, protesting the first Gulf War. Steve and I grew up kind of hearing him speak at rallies and... I think he was a big part of us sort of forming our social consciousness. And anyway, Steve, you want to talk any more about him?
That's kind of it in a nutshell. I wrote this song when I was in jail during the Right to Work protest, and had just like I was thinking back to something Bishop Gumbleton had said like at church maybe a month and a half before that, and it just kept sticking in my head. And like 2 years later, I kind of finished the song. But he meant a lot to the community in Southwest Detroit that my family grew up in, and you know, he's kind of I think also figurative of the passing of of a generation in that community, and that, you know, it's never going to quite be the same. He's not the parish priest anymore, and the neighborhood's changing, and all that stuff's kind of caught up in there. But
yeah. And just for context, Steve's a labor organizer by day, so
yeah, I wasn't I wasn't like breaking into, like, I wasn't robbing a liquor store.
No, it's cool.
23,000 people downtown in Lansing. I could use this opportunity to get rich.
Civil disobedience kind of stuff. Nothing bad.
You know? I used to be a UAW employee. Yeah. My family's union. I get it.
There we go.
Awesome. I've done the Labor Day March.
Nice. There we go. All right.
I could see Bishop Gumbleton live like a pious man, knew all the words, the God's incantations, and the words stumbled out like drunkards into the daylight. He brokered a peace between John and May Jefferson, heard the confessions of men who would sin again, took off his vestments, settled down into the night. He'd sit by the dim lamp, thumb through the Gospels, he'd settle on Luke every time. As the ice melted and his whiskey glass sweated, he cried. He knew that high words higher than steeples, people are lower than low, and all their expensive devotions won't ransom their souls. Eyes linger on in the mirror while our bishop reads from the mountains I've seen. In this lamplit room, those eyes, they open again. I can see them, but they can't see me from here. They are immortal, they live in the mirror. As the steam rises up from the street, it shrouds pale. Because Pilate killed Christ, but he chopped up his body, and all rich men fed him to ghosts. And our Bishop Gumbleton prays for the working folk's souls. He knew that Howard's a higher than steeples, and people are lower than low, and all their expensive devotions won't ransom their souls.
WHFR.FM, the only station that is making waves. The Codgers are joining us live from Studio J. And that was a song that you wrote, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's one of mine.
All right. Now, I have never been able to interview an accordion player, so I have a ton of questions. First off, when and why?
That's so a really good question.
Yeah, I think I was 19 or 20 years old, and I'd saved up $900. I was living in Lansing and had saved up $900 to buy this like hollow body Heritage that they had at Elderly Instruments. And so my old man goes with me to go, you know, buy it, pick it out, and I'm walking through there, and that back room at Elderly they have, where they have banjos now by that fireplace, they used to have, like, weird instruments that they didn't have any other place for, and they'd have, like, Irish stuff there, so they'd have, like, bowrons and tin whistles, and they had these button accordions up there, and I grabbed one off the thing and started messing around with it, and I decided I wanted it. It was like $850. I'm like, that's what I have in my pocket. So I grabbed it and bought it, and my dad just like rolling his eyes. He's like, I thought I was going to get to like borrow that guitar and play it. What the hell are you going to do with this accordion? And so it took me like 2 years, and I was living for a couple of those years with my cousin Matt, who plays mandolin in the Codgers, and like I can only imagine how obnoxious it must have been. He had like a day job, and I was a bartender, and I'd get home and like break this accordion out and trying to learn how to play it, and you know, he's got to wake up for work in the morning. It must have been, like, totally insufferable. So that's the how, and the why, I still can't explain it. But
was there, like, did you hear a certain artist or a certain song, and you were like, oh, I love the accordion?
Yeah, actually, yeah, that was so, like, it's funny. I had just, at that point, like, late in my 20s, had heard the song Galway Girl by Steve Earle and Sharon Shannon. And I actually heard it from Sharon Shannon's record. She's an Irish button accordion player from Galway, and had fallen in love with that song. And it had just come out, I think, maybe a year or two previous. And I was like, I want to do that. But I'd never thought about actually doing it because I didn't know where the heck you buy a button accordion before. There's literally one guy in the state of Michigan that sells them now up in Warren, Castiglione. And that's it. So they're like kind of hard to find.
So anyone that you kind of like find, it's going to be at like a pawn shop or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I've bought multiple button accordions at pawn shops that turned out to be terrible. But I've got one that I'm trying to rebuild now because he's also the only guy that fixes them, and he's not like a spring chicken.
That's just going to be a skill in demand.
Yeah, exactly. It's like people that can tune player pianos. There's like three of them in the state. So
or build chainmail.
Yeah, exactly. Or build chainmail. Exactly. Yeah.
All the best useful skills.
So I'm rebuilding this one from scratch that I got. Like that, it plays, but it's in rough shape. So I'm trying to learn myself. But.
Oh, your poor neighbors. Mm-hmm. So
I moved out to Ortonville, so I wouldn't have them.
Oh yeah, you got some space now.
Yep.
So you come from a musical family, I assume.
Yeah, my parents were folk musicians. They played the Wheatland Blissfest circuit kind of deal in the 80s, and like you know this like really super Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, two guys with acoustic guitars, two women singing harmonies. Like, I mean, I make fun of it bad now. I probably should have made fun of it bad then, but it was actually really good. But it's just so. Like a mighty wind. Although my dad writes really, really, really good songs, and so that kind of made up. And all of them could sing really, really nice harmonies. And there was always a bit of like edge to the music that they were playing. And it wasn't like happy stuff. Like I remember being a kid and my dad putting me to bed at night and singing songs to me. And he'd sing like 4 and 20 and like really, you know, dark but really good songs. And so that's always kind of been a theme of my family growing up. And, you know, we still, like, Johnny will come up and visit the family up north. They live in outside of Traverse City, and we'll sit around and pick tunes for hours and just have a guitar pull. And so it stayed in the family. And even going back to old Corktown, Matt and my were cousins. Our grandparents were our grandfather was a vaudeville song and dance guy and was a member of his brothers and sisters were called the Dancing Donahues, and their dad sang tenor and their mom sang piano. They were based out of this, the Gaelic League when it was on 12th and, 12th and Grand River and out of this house on Vine Street in the middle of the Lodge Freeway, but which used to be, you know, the kind of like lace curtain old Corktown. And so that's kind of the root of like my family playing music in Southwest Detroit and in Detroit more broadly. I guess in the Midwest, they do like the Kansas City, you know, Cleveland, Chicago circle tour. But
what about the rest of you guys? You kind of come from a musical background or?
Go ahead.
I am the only musician in my family.
How has that been difficult for you? Or
no, not at all. My parents were always really supportive of it, but just I'm the only one who ever took up any kind of want, desire to play of it.
You're the only one that plays a musician or plays an instrument?
Yeah.
What kind of music did your parents listen to? Did it kind of influence you, what you played?
They listened to a lot of Beatles, a lot of kind of 70s rock stuff. Yeah, it's influenced what I listen to and what I play to. What I play, you know, a lot of Who, Rolling Stones, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right.
So this is a bit of a departure from from my upbringing.
Well, what kind of made you drift this way?
Actually, it was the former bass player before me, about 10 years ago now. He was a friend of mine, and he suggested when he was moving out of town, and he suggested I take over for him.
So you kind of picked it up?
So I did. No, I played bass guitar already, but they gave me a list of songs. I learned them and then started playing together about 10 years ago now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
my parents were not musicians either, and I have an uncle who sings sometimes in Irish bars, and I spent a lot of time in Irish bars with my parents as a kid, though, and they would always go to the Dublin Inn in East Dearborn and listen to this guy Larry Larson. Then when Larry went down to Corktown and started playing the Gaelic League, we'd go down there, you know. So neither of my parents were huge music fans beyond that. They were friends with this one guy who happened to play and sing great in Irish bars, but that's about it. But, you know, when Steve was talking about his folks, I was thinking about the fact that we covered one of his dad's songs on our last record. It was the last song on the record, a tune called Calumet. That seems like a good one to play now.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did he inspire any of the songs? So yeah. We're about to hear one.
Yeah, Steve. So this is Steve Cousins Jr. Steve Cousins Sr. wrote this next one. It's a really great song called Calumet about a town in the UP.
Up in Calumet, the winter wind blows cold against, but the buildings boarded up some time ago. Theater stands still, an empty monument to fill, till the summer brings the tourists and their pay. They come to see just how grand it used to be, when the copper barons built and ran this town. It was long ago, some folks hanging on to the remnants of that time in Calumet.
Of 89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station that is making waves. The Codgers joining us live from Studio J. And you said your dad wrote that one, Steve?
Yeah, my old man wrote it. He had a job interview in Houghton in like 1984, 85, and was just so taken by kind of the weird beauty of that place because it's gorgeous. It used to be the richest city in America. And then copper played out. it got real broke real fast, and it's just weird because it fits into the Codgers kind of lexicon because it's a town about it's kind of like exists despite having this like crazy history that's like rooted in labor conflict and class struggle and all this stuff, but has this weird cultural significance that lives on because like Woody Guthrie and the 1913 Massacre song and all of that stuff. It's got a place that kind of lives on despite like the money all leaving. And it reminds me a lot of Flint, where my old man's from, and Southwest Detroit, where I've spent most of my life, I guess.
All right. Now, when it comes to your record, how many of the songs, was that the only one that wasn't written by you guys, or how did the song selection go for this record?
So that one is actually on our last record before this one. That one was the only one on the last one that wasn't written by us. And on the new one, all 11 were written by us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So either Steve, Matt, or I.
Now, how does that the song writing process go? Do you come up with the lyrics first, or the melody, or is it a collaborative thing? How does that work?
Well, I think we tend to write individually and mm-hmm. then bring it to the table later after it's kind of drafted. I can't speak to your process. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I kind of snippets of melody, and then. That'll come along and turns a phrase that'll kind of come with it. So it usually starts with a kernel of something that has a cadence to the way that you say it that also has kind of a deeper thing that sits in my brain, and a song usually come out of that. And every now and then I'll have like a theme or a topic that I want to write about, but most of the time it comes with a kind of a word or a phrase that comes into my head, and then like all the different like anxieties that are going through there end up manifesting themselves in some type of story that I end up telling because of it. Because a lot of the stuff that I write is narrative and is either about myself or about, hypotheticals of other people that I find interesting. And I live on the road a lot. And so I meet strange kind of, folks in bars, and I make up backstories about who they are and what makes them tick. And that informs a lot of kind of what I do. But it's usually a story in my head of a person in a story that I've made up about them. And then a phrase that'll just pop into my head that'll be a part of that story there, that'll make sense and like have some resonance with that. And then a melody will come very quickly after that, and then the structure of the song follows the melody. So the structure and the progression is the last part of it. And then usually, like, when I have it baked up enough where I'm not going to be embarrassed by it, I'll play it for John or my old man and see if it passes the sniff test.
Sniff test, that's, I've never heard of that when it came to music. Now, there's so much storytelling in, like, the songs and stuff. That kind of comes with the genre, but, like, this is going to sound kind of silly, but are any of you trained storytellers, or how does that? It's kind of, I don't know how to say it without sounding silly.
Well, I'm a published poet, so I've got a couple collections of poetry, and I did an MFA in poetry writing, and I teach writing at Oakland University. That's my day job. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So
literally as trained as you can be.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a terminal degree in poetry writing. So,
sort of.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and I think, me and Steve especially are big readers of American poetry. Mm-hmm. So, we like, figures like, John Berryman. One poet I think we have in common that we both talk about a lot is the great Martins Ferry, Ohio poet James Wright, mm-hmm. He comes up a lot and I think informs our songwriting. But we got this. I got this theory. When you look at some of these figures like Guy Clark or something, they all tend to be poetry readers. All mm-hmm. like all my favorite songwriters. So I think good songwriters listen to great songwriters, and great songwriters read poetry, mm-hmm. or at least, not.
It's part of the process.
Yeah, not too.
Somewhere down the line.
Right, not too, you know, be that self-ennobling. But I do think that, you know, if you read poetry and figure out how to plug in resonant proper nouns into your songwriting, you can get a lot of work done that, you know. But then I guess poetry, I think, informs a lot of what we do. And, you know, that's part of the Irish pub thing, too, you know, poets and recitations. And, you know, when they get together and do the session, you know, there's usually somebody who gets tuned up on whiskey and recites a Yeats poem or something. So,
a little inspiration for some inspiration.
Yeah. Right.
So now do you sit down and put time into the songwriting, or is it something that just kind of occurs to you? Because, Steve, you're saying you're on the road and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So there's – I used to be a limo driver. So when you're on the freeway for a while, your mind almost gets into a meditative stage. Is that when it kind of hits you, or do you actually, like, sit down at a desk, you know, set out dates and times for it?
No, that's like – yeah, it hits you. It's exactly like that when you're in that meditative state. And the two times I get that are when I'm running – and when I'm alone in a bar and have something to fixate on, like, in front of me, it's like, you know, it's if you're in a town 2,000 miles away and there's not a lot going on, and I'm not like a fancy bar kind of person. I'm a dive bar guy, and you get the drone of the jukebox in the back, and you're staring at, like, the whiskey lights, you know, underneath it, and you kind of get lost in it, and then something will hit you at that point. And I've got to, like, remember that, and that's the hardest thing. Like, I've turned into one of those people that, like, does the iPhone notes thing, and I've got, like, snippets of stuff in there, because I also will not be the guy that has the notebook in the bar.
Yeah, for notes for this for this interview, I had it, like, emailed to myself, so I've
exactly
my email on the screen right here. All right, so what's the next song here?
You guys want to do Aretha?
Yes, do it.
Yeah. We're going to get Steve to pick up that accordion again, and we'll play you a slightly older song of ours called Aretha. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Warrendale in West Detroit, and this is a very Warrendale song. Thank you.
89.3 WHFR.FM, the only station that is making waves. Live from Studio J, we have the Codgers and Studio J performing with us. And I got to ask, who's Aretha?
You know what? It's a totally made-up character and name. One night I was just driving through Warrendale, passing by my childhood home, and that sort of hatching of a story popped into my head, you know, and I suddenly knew this character and knew the narrator of the song too. Had that character sketch in mind and wound up writing some chords and music probably a year later and remembered those two.
Yeah. Now, when you kind of come up with these characters, do you bring them up again in other songs later on and maybe different records, or could that be a possibility?
That could be. That's a good idea. I haven't done that, actually, but I think that's a cool idea. I haven't really. I think a lot of my characters tend to be similar, and, I have trouble getting outside of Detroit bars and neighborhoods that I'm familiar with. So a lot of the characters share a commonality, just being from here. A lot of the characters are tend to be based on people I know or have seen or interacted with, too, you know.
Okay. Now, do you guys kind of look to certain artists for inspiration when it comes to either the writing or even just the melody of songs or how you play an instrument?
Yeah, I mentioned him a minute ago. Guy Clark's like probably hands down my favorite songwriter.
Me too, Guy Clark and Shane McGowan.
Yeah, Shane McGowan was who we were listening to a lot when we started this band, you know. And great songwriter, and love the Pogues quite a bit. And then who else comes to mind? I listen to like Joni Mitchell's Blue in the winter all the time. And I love that record.
Towns Van Zandt.
Towns Van Zandt.
All right, so before you guys kind of showed up, Steve and I were talking a little bit. Now, over the years, you've gotten to be a little, I don't want to say selective when it comes to choosing venues, but you kind of, like, what are some, like, red flags for you if some place is reaching out or if you're looking for a place to play? Do you guys have to, like, go out and search for your own places, or do a lot of people just kind of call you and ask if you're free?
A lot of people call this band, you know, and I think the thing with it is that a lot of times we'll get calls and it quickly becomes evident they want us to do something that we would have had a lot of fun doing when we were like 26 and drinking whiskey heavily.
Exactly.
And, you know, not worrying about whether and how we were going to get home.
Nowadays it's like 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, sometimes I can kind of quickly tell it's like, okay, this is someone who's like listened to the stuff we've recorded and appreciates the original songs, or like, this is someone who really wants us to do like a high octane Irish drinking set, you know, which we're fine with doing. And like, we know some really great people in Irish Detroit. So we're fine with doing that occasionally, but usually it's like a stranger and someone calling us from a venue we don't know. We don't have any connection to that person. Usually we'll be like, you know, if we came, we'd probably be doing more of like this Americana original set. I don't know if that's really what you want, you know. So it's weird. But if like, dude, like if Brian Dunleavy and Alan Parr calls me and says, hey, John, like, you want to come play this thing for you know, the ladies AOH at Dunleavy's, and you know, I know it's going to be a lot of like Irish songs, and I'll go there in a second for nothing, just because I love that guy in that place, you know.
Wow.
So it's a lot of it, like, really is less about aesthetics and more about friendships for us. Like, I think that's the whole spirit of this band's always been like friendship.
Yeah. I was going to say, because like, my question is almost irrelevant, because you're almost this, kind of this established network where you pretty much just know everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. So let's see here.
So we're a little wary of strangers, but we love the people we love, you know.
Yeah. So St. Paddy's Day is coming up. So you guys got any plans for it?
Yeah, we'll be at Nancy Whiskey's from 3 to 5 over there in North Corktown. Then we're playing the Lager House from 7 to 9 on St. Patrick's Day. Then for the parade, we'll be at the Gaelic League in Corktown from 3:30 to 6. And then Nancy's from noon to 2. I did that backwards, but yeah. Those are great places to be. You know, love PJ and the Lager House. you know, Gerald Nevis Stevens over at Nancy Whiskey's are awesome people. We've known them for a long time. Those are good places for us to be on those days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any local acts that you guys are kind of keeping an eye on or that you've kind of like are your favorite over the years?
Over the years, man, like that whole Inside Outlaws songwriter collective, mm-hmm. Don Dupree, Allison Lewis, like Matt DeMitz, folks like that. And then, I love Ryan Dillahay, great songwriter, pretty amazing. But I actually recently, this young trio called Giacomo, I've been really digging. I think they're from Hamtramck. I've only seen them play twice, but they're phenomenal. Two sisters and one of the sisters' boyfriends plays guitar, and it's like blood harmonies and just really good writing. And they seem pretty young. I want to say they're all like 23, 24. Wow. And they can sing, and like virtuosic singing doesn't really mean that much to me, but they can also write, it seems. So I'm really digging that group right now.
Wow.
Giacomo, yeah.
What about you guys?
That's kind of my list too.
I like
Mike Galbraith a lot.
I mean, sticker on something.
Well, not personally.
I don't like him, but like
not
I like his music.
Yeah, personally, I find him offensive, but I think he's talented. He looks better in a jean jacket than me, and I kind of resent that too.
I got to give a shout out, Emma Guzman.
Oh, yeah.
Really phenomenal young songwriter. You know, her dad's a good friend of mine. She's just like coming up the ranks and having all sorts of success. So, yeah, she's really great.
And there's some good Irish musicians coming around. Like, I love our friends Allison Perkins and Nick Brown.
Yeah, they played on one of the tracks.
Yeah, they do like a fiddle and pipe record that came out like last year, and I think they might be doing another one soon. And we got a lot of talented people around here and making good music in the city. So
yeah,
all right. Mm-hmm. So what do you think? We got time for two more songs? One more song?
Yeah, let's do two more.
All right.
Want to play Blue Angels and then play Get Things Done?
Sure.
Yeah, sounds good. This is an older one, too. This is kind of one of our standards called Blue Angels.
Must have died of cirrhosis. He hated his father. He loved booze and horses, but he made damn sure those airplanes rolled off of the line. He made damn sure those airplanes rolled off of the line. We were hearing some music out there in Ipsy, drinking with friends, and I made you drive me down Old Waltz Road to that Willow Run airplane field, where the Blue Angels do all of their tricks in the sky. We stare out in the summertime and pretend we understand why. We pretend that we understand why. None of them rich kids whose daddies are captains of industry or captains of anything else. These days there's no captains of anything else. Then you said, as for me, I'll probably die of cirrhosis. I ain't got no father. I love booze and music, and I do not care if those airplanes ever rolled off the line. Way out here in Ipsy, where blue angels do tricks in the sky. Way out here in Ipsy, where blue angels do tricks in the sky. We stare out in the summer time and pretend we understand why.
WHFR.FM, the only station that is making waves. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming in. This has been fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
So the record comes out March 9th, right?
March 7th.
March 7th.
Yeah, okay. March 7th at the Gaelic League at 8 p.m.
All right. Then after that, you guys got tour buses picked up?
Oh, or? No, we all got day jobs. So we'll, you know, we got the bunch of stuff in Detroit the first half of March, and
okay,
that's about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. What's the last song?
The last song is called Get Things Done. It's a Steve Cousins original. It's on the new record. It's been getting some airplay in places like Toledo and Detroit, Michigan. And
some people are big in Japan. We're big in Toledo.
She fired up the Coleman four-stroke and hit it out down the river. A proposition for her mother to consider. What'd she think about coming home in a couple of years since her father had gone? House is pretty quiet all alone. She could drink champagne and get things done. She could drink champagne and get things done. Father's up in market giving cookies in the mail every Christmas. She turned by me, thought she did a damn good business. He was years away from coming home. She didn't give a damn that he was gone. House pretty quiet all alone. Drink champagne, get things done. She could drink champagne, get things done. Get things done.
things done. She could drink champagne, get things done.
Listener supported. Non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn. Featuring local and independent artists.
Talking a lizard.
Lizard.
Got one sitting right up in my room. You know all you gotta do is sit and listen.
Listen.
Maybe he will say a thing or two.